Kings chapter number 19, 2 Kings chapter number 19. Second Kings in chapter number 19. We're going to begin reading in verse number 8 this morning. I'd like to invite you, when you found your place, if you can or able, stand out of the reverence of the reading of God's word this morning. Help of God, this morning we're going to preach for just a few moments on the thought of power in prayer. The power of prayer. I want you to be thinking about that as we're reading. And hopefully we'll be a blessing to you this morning. Try to be a help. And I know no doubt this scripture's helped me. And I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria, warning against Libnah, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Terekah, a king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee. He sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trusteth deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Thessalar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad? Where, and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, of Hena and Iva?" Verse number 14, the Bible says this, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Flip with me to verse number 35. Verse number 35 says this, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, and Lord, we just thank you for this day, and thank you for all you've done for us today, dear Lord. And Lord, as they sung about earlier, we're thankful that you are that solid rock which we can stand upon, God. We just thank you for it. Lord, we just want to praise you for it. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, for the next few moments of time, God, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Preach what thus saith your word, dear God. Lord, I want to preach exactly what you need me to this morning. Lord, I don't want to say anything you wouldn't have me to say, but God, we just want to follow you. And Lord, we just ask you to touch and move in a great and a mighty way. Lord, you know the need of the message this morning. And God, I pray you would just move and work the way you see fit, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help each and every one of us, Lord, to have open hearts, willing to receive your word, Lord, willing to receive what you have for us, Lord. Lord, we'll be sure to praise you and thank you for all that you do. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, most of all, for the blood that was shed on Calvary, that we could be saved. Lord, we just want to praise you for that. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, this morning, if there be any here lost, Lord, that has never trusted you for salvation, God, I pray you just draw them to you, Lord, and show them their need for salvation. And Lord, we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Before I get started this morning and dig into the message, I want to say this. If you hear nothing else this morning, I want you to hear this. There's still power in prayer. We see a story in our Bibles here about a man by the name of Hezekiah who had some problems, had some things he had to deal with, and we'll dive into it in just a second. And he took all he had to the Lord in prayer. And I'm thankful this morning that there's still power in prayer. Amen. I'm still thankful we serve a living God, a loving Savior who's willing to hear and answer our prayers. Amen. I'm thankful there's still power in prayer. And so there's still power in prayer this morning. By the help of God, that's what I want to preach on for just a few moments. I want you to notice, first of all, about our text this morning, the problems that Hezekiah was facing. The problems that Hezekiah was facing. You'll have to go back and to fully understand his problems. You have to understand how Hezekiah became the king of Judah. You'll find that before Hezekiah, that Ahaz reigned over Judah. And you'll find about Ahaz, you'll find the Bible tells us that he did not which was right in the sight of God. He didn't do what was right in the sight of God. And you'll find under King Ahaz that Judah began to worship false gods and false idols, and they began to worship false gods. And then you'll find, we know and realize at this time in our Bibles, that there was two separate nations, Judah and Israel, or Samaria. You'll find that Samaria is under the reign of Hosea. And you'll find that the Bible says about him that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And you'll find that both Ahaz and Hosea there made concessions to the king of Assyria. You'll find that they both paid tribute to them and worshipped the king of Assyria's gods. You'll find by the time we get to our text this morning that Israel or Samaria has already fallen to Assyria. They're already under Assyrian reign. And so Judah stands alone as the shining light for God among the other nations. When Hezekiah comes on the scene, the Bible tells us that when Hezekiah came on the scene, the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. It even goes as far to say as there was never a king like him before him, and there'd never be a king of Judah after him that was like him, that he followed God in every way that he could. And you'll find that Hezekiah, when he came to power, almost overnight, he reinstituted the worship of God. And he told the nation of Judah, hey, we're no longer going to serve false gods. We're no longer going to serve the gods of Assyria, but we're going to serve the one true and living God. And he began to put things back in order. He began to put the temple back in order. And yet, he still was facing some problems. We know and realize he's no longer going to pay tribute to the king of Assyria. He's trying to do right in the eyes of God and no longer serve false gods, but serve the one true and living God. And this makes Sennacherib, however you want to say it this morning, we find it makes him very angry. And he begins to war against Judah. You'll find back in chapter number 18 where Judah defeats the Philistines. And then you'll find that Sennacherib comes against Judah. He begins to invade Judah. And Hezekiah asked him, he said, would you leave us alone? Essentially, in good mountain English, would you just leave us alone? Is there anything we can do so we don't have to go to battle? And the king of Assyria tells him, if you'll give me some gold and you'll give me some silver of this amount, that we'll leave you alone. And so you find that Hezekiah makes the mistake in chapter number 18 of going to the temple of God and tearing the gold and the silver off the doors and off the pillars of the house of God. And he pays that to the king of Assyria. And guess what? Hezekiah finds out that Sennacherib was lying to him the whole time. That payment and that gold and that silver is not going to keep him away from attacking Judah. And so he's still invading Judah. And you'll find in chapter number 18 that Hezekiah now has this problem of his nation coming under attack. And the fact of the matter is, the king of Assyria, he even says in his prayer, had the ability, and the Assyrian armies had the ability to overrun Judah. Judah could not hold Jerusalem by themselves. Judah could not hold their territory on their own power. They had to look to the power of God. Amen. But you'll find that Hezekiah is about to be overrun by the Assyrian army. And during this time, no doubt, Hezekiah is seeking counsel. And you'll find there's some in Hezekiah's camp in chapter number 18. I don't have time to read it all to you this morning. I encourage you to go read it. You'll find there's some in chapter number 18 in Hezekiah's camp that's saying, hey, let's turn to Assyria. They're not that bad. Let's go to them. We can go and we can be under their rulership. And then there's some that are in Hezekiah's ear that are saying, why don't we turn to Egypt? Why don't we turn to Pharaoh? Him and his armies can come and help us to hold Assyria back. If we'll just ask Egypt for help, surely we can survive this battle. So he's got so many different things in his ear. And then you'll see the third notion of advice he gets in chapter number 19, where Isaiah tells him not to worry, that God's going to take care of everything. Isaiah tells Hezekiah in verses number 6 and verse number 7, he tells Hezekiah, hey, you just trust in God. You just lean on Him, and I promise you, God's going to take care of you. He's already fought the battle. He's already won. You don't have to worry about it, Hezekiah. All you've got to do is trust in God. So not only is Hezekiah under attack, he's got viewpoints coming at him from all around him on how he should do things. Isn't it amazing? Seems like every time you face a problem in life, there's a million different opinions on how you ought to handle everything. And that's what Hezekiah is facing. He's facing a great problem. Many different opinions on how he should handle it. But then not only that, we find in chapter number 20 of the book of 2 Kings that at this same time that Hezekiah is facing health battles, health problems. This is the point in time in history where Hezekiah, I know and realize it's in chapter number 20, but the chronological timeline of the way things happened here, this is at the same time that Assyria is attacking, and you'll find that Hezekiah is about to die. We know and realize that Isaiah comes to him and he tells him that the Lord's taught him to get his house in order and he'll give him 15 more years to rule over Judah. And nonetheless, that happens. But at this same time, he's under attack from the Assyrian army. His health is failing him. You talk about a stressful time. You talk about a time that would break a man. Man, I want you to think about all that Hezekiah is going through. He's got a lot of problems. Not only that, but at the same time, we find Sennacherib in verse number 10 telling Hezekiah this. He says, "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." He goes on in verses number 11 through verse number 13, and he tells Hezekiah in that note, in the note from the messenger, of all the cities he's destroyed, of all the kingdoms he's overrun. Let me back up for just a second and say this. We all face problems. I don't know what problems you're facing this morning. You don't know what problems I'm facing this morning. But I can guarantee that we all face problems. And if you don't this morning, you just pray for the rest of us because we've got plenty of them. We've all got problems that we face. Some small, some large. Some that seem to just come and go, but then some that seem like Hezekiah in this situation, they'll almost crush you to the point you can't do anything. We've all got problems. We all face problems. We all have battles that we have to fight. I can guarantee you if we went around and surveyed the room, we probably all have a list of problems we're facing this morning. As we sat before Sunday school this morning, I sat and listened to all the prayer requests, brother. And there was a lot of prayer requests. There was a lot of sickness. There were some who were bereaved. There were some who were going through things in life. But there was many that had unspoken requests. And we're all facing something in our lives. Amen. A lot of times, we don't have the answer for them. There's problems that on our own ability, we do not have the ability to overcome them. Just as Hezekiah here, Hezekiah in his own self doesn't have the ability to overcome his health issues. Just as Hezekiah here, he does not have the ability to overcome the Assyrian armies under his own power. Not possible. We all have problems we face that within ourselves, we do not have the ability to overcome them. But not only that, you find the king of Assyria speaking to Hezekiah and saying, "Don't let God deceive you. You're not going to win. You can't defeat me. Don't let God deceive you. You can't handle this, Hezekiah." I ask you this, how many times are we facing problems and facing battles and the enemy, old Satan, comes up to us and begins to tell us, don't let your God deceive you. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him make you believe he can take care of you. I'm going to overrun you. I'm going to devour you. That's what Satan's wanting to do this morning. We know and realize the Bible tells us that he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to devour us. He wants to overrun us. And how many times when we face a problem, maybe it's not all the time, but when you're all alone in that midnight hour, Satan will come by and begin to tell you, don't believe God. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let him deceive you. I'm going to overrun you. I'm going to devour you. And if we're not real careful, we'll begin to believe it. If we're not real careful, we'll begin to believe that God can't take care of our problem. So we see Hezekiah's problem. His problem's great. Just as you and I face some problems in our lives, Hezekiah was facing a problem. But then I want you to notice Hezekiah's prayer. I find that Hezekiah in chapter number 18 and then even in chapter number 19, Hezekiah has a lot of people in his court trying to counsel him. He even has Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He even has Isaiah in his court trying to counsel him. But yet when it comes, when the rubber meets the road, Hezekiah goes by himself to pray. Let me say this. Counsel is a good thing. The Bible tells us that. It's a good thing when you face problems to seek out counsel. But the best counsel you'll ever find is when you're talking to God and talking it out with you and Him. And that's what Hezekiah does when he gets that he has that problem. Hezekiah takes it to the Lord in prayer. I want you to notice a few things about Hezekiah's prayer in verses number 14 through verses number 19. I want you to notice, first of all, the place Hezekiah goes to pray. Look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord." I like the picture that paints. Hezekiah receives this letter. It's almost his breaking point. I want you to imagine that. It's almost his breaking point. And he takes this letter up into the house of the Lord and he spreads it out before God. He takes everything he has and he just lays it out before God. The place that he goes, the Bible says that he goes up, went up into the house of the Lord. Now, bear with me for just a second. This altar is a wonderful place to pray. Understand that. I'm not saying it's not right here. This altar is a wonderful place to pray. But Hezekiah, when he goes up into the house of the Lord to spread this out before God, he's doing so because we're reading in the Old Testament. You understand that? And in the Old Testament, we know and realize up at the house of the Lord or at the temple, that's where you went to talk to God. That's where the presence of God was. That's where God met with His people. And so Hezekiah takes the letter and he goes up to where he knows he can get a hold of God. He goes to where he knows he can get a hold of God. Now understand, Jesus Christ did a lot of things for us on the cross of Calvary. Understand, Jesus Christ did a lot of things for us in salvation upon the cross of Calvary. But one of the greatest things that He did for us outside of salvation on the cross of Calvary, you'll read over there, as Christ is on Golgotha's hillside, dying for yours and my sin, you'll find that the sun refused to shine and the earth began to quake. And as he cried out that it is finished, you'll find that the veil of the temple, brother, was rent twain from top to bottom. What's that mean? That means God Himself ripped that temple, ripped that veil of the temple, allowing you and I to go into the holies of holies, making that place irrelevant. Why? Because we now have a high priest who sits upon the throne of heaven that loves you and I, that died for you and I. And He hears our prayers, and we can go and talk to Him wherever we're at, whatever we're going through. We have a direct line unto the throne room of God, able to pray to Him. Hey, this altar's a great place to pray. But guess what? At the foot of your bed's a great place to pray. Back in a prayer closet somewhere is a great place to pray. Out on a mountainside somewhere is a great place to pray. In the McDonald's parking lot, sitting in your car is a great place to pray. Why? Because that's where you can get a hold of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can have a direct line unto the throne room of God? Amen.
Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 14, the Bible says this: seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse number 16 of Hebrews chapter number 4 says this: let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Let us come boldly to the throne. Hey, Hezekiah goes to where he can get a hold of God, and he takes his problems, he spreads them out before God. Where can you and I get a hold of God? Wherever we might be at. This altar is a great place to pray, but it's not the only place you can get a hold of God. I'm thankful God hears our prayers, and we can come before Him wherever we're at and find mercy and find help. We can take our problems to God wherever we might be, and we can spread them out before Him.
Amen.
We see the place He prayed, but I want you to notice the person He prayed to. Y'all hang with me for a minute or you're going to think I'm crazy. The person He prayed to, well, He prayed to the Lord. Duh, that's obvious. Amen. Y'all just hang with me. The person He prayed to. Look with me in verse number 15. The Bible says, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims. He recognizes His holiness. Thou art God. Even thou alone, he recognizes his deity. All the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. He recognizes his ability and his power. You look on down in verse number 18, he says, Hezekiah says, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. He recognizes he's the one true God within his prayer. So in Hezekiah's prayer, we see him recognize his holiness, his deity, and his ability, all in verse number 15. Hezekiah recognizes who he's talking to. Let me ask you this. When we pray, do we recognize who we're talking to? Do we truly recognize who we are talking to? I know I sometimes just get in a routine of prayer and I forget who I'm talking to. Or sometimes my faith is lacking when I pray on whether or not God can really do something. I struggle with that many times. But if we'll truly recognize who we're talking to, it'd be amazing how much more often we would pray. If we would truly recognize who we were talking to when we pray, it'd be amazing how much more we'd take to Him in prayer. Hey, this is the one, let me say this, first of all, we're praying to the one who saved us from our sins, who has the ability to save us from hell, who defeated death, hell, and the grave, who holds the keys to death. We're talking to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We're talking to the Alpha and the Omega. We're talking to the one who spoke everything into existence. We're talking to the one who takes care of the robins and the lilies. We're talking to the one who holds every star in his hand. We're talking to the one who knows every sand on the seashore. We're talking to the one who knows everything about us, every hair on our head, everything we face. That's who we're talking to, and we're talking to the one who has the ability to do something about our problems. Amen. I'm not one
to talk about my problems very much. It's just not who I am. But I know a lot of people, you get around them, and all they want to do is talk about their problems. Understand what I'm saying when I say this. I get to go a lot of places, and I'm blessed, and I'm thankful for that, and I get to meet a lot of different people. And I'm sure Brother Tim could say the same thing. It's amazing what people will come up to you and begin to tell you their problems at church. I don't know you from Adam, and there's nothing wrong with it. I'll try to help you. I'll try to pray for you. But most people I don't know from Adam, but they'll spill all their problems to me. And that's fine. But I can't do anything about them. I can't do anything about your problems. I can pray for you. I can try to counsel you. But I can't really do anything about your problems. But when you're talking to the Lord in prayer, you are talking to the one who has the ability to do something about your problems. Amen. The fact of the matter is, if I could solve all the world's problems, you better believe I would in just a minute. If I could solve all my problems, you better believe I wouldn't have no problems this morning. But guess what? I've got problems. Hey, if I could figure out how to save my lost loved ones, guess what? They'd be saved on their way to heaven. But I can't save them. Only God can. I can witness to them. I can pray for them. But I can't fix that problem of them being lost and on their way to hell. Hey, if I could figure out how to solve people's health problems, I promise you I'd go up to Watauga County Medical Center and I'd empty that place out this morning. But I can't fix their problems. Only God can. But the fact of the matter is, when we're talking to the Lord in prayer, we're talking to the one who has the ability to fix our problems. Amen. Do we recognize who we're talking to when we pray? See the place he went to pray, where he could get a hold of God. We see the person he prayed to, the one who had the ability to take care of him. But then I want you to notice lastly about his prayer, the praise he gives during his prayer. We've already seen in verse number 15 that praise that he gives by recognizing who he is. And then he goes on in verse number 18. He talks about how the other gods were not gods. But they were just stone and wood, works of men's hands. But then in verse number 19, he says this in giving praise to God. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. He prays, he says, God, I know you're the one true God. God, would you hear my prayer? And this is what he says, in essence. Would you get the glory out of this situation? God, would you get the glory? God, would you get the honor out of this situation? Hezekiah does not pray to God and say, God, would you do this so I can look like a great ruler? He does not pray to God and say, God, would you help me defeat the Assyrian army so I look like a great man? He doesn't even say, God, would you do this so these people would have a better life? But what he says, God, would you do this for you to get the glory? God, would you do this to show all the nations around us that you're the one true God? What's he doing? He's saying, God, I want you to get the glory. God, I want you to get the praise out of this situation. Let me say this. There's two things here I want to say. Let me say this, when we pray and ask God for something, we should be asking Him so He gets the glory and the honor. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of people, put it this way, the Bible, He must increase and I must decrease. God, I want you to do this so you get the glory, so you get the honor out of it. God, I want you to be seen through all these problems. God, I want you to be seen in your ability to answer these prayers, giving Him that praise. And let me say this, when God does answer our prayers, we ought to be sure to give Him the glory and give Him the honor. Amen. But then we see Hezekiah also, as I've already said, just praising Him for who He is. We've already read it, verse number 15. He talks about Him dwelling between the cherubims, His holiness. Thou art God, even Thou alone is deity. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heavens and the earth, His ability, His power. He's praising the Lord in that. Let me say this. When we face problems in life, I know myself, if I'm not real careful when I'm facing problems, that'll be all I focus on. It's all I focus on. That problem in front of me is all I focus on. And if we're not real careful, we'll focus on the problem in front of us. We'll focus on what we're facing. We'll focus on, how the devil's attacking us. We'll focus on how our world seems like it's collapsing in. And we'll forget who the one we serve is. We'll forget about Him. We'll forget about what He's done, who He is. And we'll allow that problem to consume us. One of the best things you can do when you face problems in life is praise Him for how He's helped you before. Praise Him for the times He's brought you through. There's been many of a time in my life that I just didn't see a way in a problem. I didn't see no hope in the problem. It seemed like everything was collapsing in. And whatever it might be, maybe riding down the road or maybe somewhere in my life when I was facing that problem, I would begin to think about how good God had been before, maybe how He had already done it before me in the past, and it made the problem I was facing look a whole lot smaller. When we remember who we're praying to and we praise Him for what He's done, it makes the problems we're facing seem a whole lot smaller. The psalmist said this in Psalms 86, I will praise Thee, O Lord. With all my heart I will glorify Thy name evermore. Paul said this over in the book of Romans, chapter number 11, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Not only do we need to remember who we're talking to, we need to praise Him while we're praying. Let me ask you this. I'm about done. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you just went and talk to God? You were facing problems in life. As I've already said, we've all got problems. And if we're not real careful, when we go and we pray, we'll just dump problem after problem, and that's okay. We'll pray problem after problem after problem, and we'll forget to ever praise Him. When was the last time you went to the Lord in prayer, said, yes, Lord, I've got some problems, and you know about those right now, but right now I just want to praise You. I promise you it'd do your soul some good just to praise Him for what He's done, how He's helped you with problems in the past, what He's done for you in the past. I promise you, if you'll just praise Him, it'll help you out along the way. Amen. So we see His prayer. We see the place He prays. We see the person He prays to, and we see the praise He gives. But then I want you to notice lastly about the message, and I'm done. I want you to notice the powerful answer of God. I don't have time to read it to you, but if you go and you read verses number 20 through verses number 34 this afternoon, I encourage you to do so. You'll see God's answer through Isaiah to Hezekiah. He essentially tells Hezekiah, hey Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer. The king of Assyria, the Assyrian army, they've stood against me. They've blasphemed me. They've done wicked things against me, and I'm going to destroy them. But then we see in verse number 35, verse number 36, and verse number 37, we see what God
does to answer the prayer. Verse number 35, we see that the Assyrian army, they were camped out, and the Lord sent an angel down and smote them. The Bible says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Then verse number 36 and verse number 37, we see Sennacherib. We see he returns back to Nineveh. The Bible says that he's worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, and his two sons come in and they slew him with a sword. And his other sons stepped up in his reign. God took care of Hezekiah's problems immediately and amazingly. Understand, Hezekiah spread it all out before God, and God answers his prayer. The amount of Syrians that God slew that night was enough to overrun Judah in short order. The amount of what God did for Hezekiah in verses number 35 through verse number 36, he took care of the Assyrian army in short order, something the nation of Judah couldn't do. And then he had a Sennacherib slain and brought out of power for Hezekiah to never have to worry about again. That's a powerful answer from God. Let me say this, and I'm done. God can answer our prayers in ways we couldn't even imagine. A lot of times we want to fit God into a box. God, this is my problem. This is how I want you to fix it. God, this is my problem. This is how I want you to overcome it. We'll just say, God, this is my problem. Would you get the glory out of this situation? Would you get the glory out of this problem? He can amaze us, and it would be amazing what He could do for us if we just get out of the way and let God work. He has the ability to answer prayer. We face a lot of problems. But I won't give you these two verses. I'm done. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 37. Very familiar verse. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can overcome our problems through and by Him. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you, talking about Jesus, than he that is in the world, talking about our enemy, Satan. Hey, you remember earlier, I was talking about how Satan will come by and begin to tell you, don't let God fool you. Don't let God lie to you. He'll do it. But greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that, the one that you take your problems to. Greater is he, the one we pray to. Greater is he, the one that takes care of us. Greater is he, the one that loves us, than he that is in the world, the one telling us God's not going to take care of us. The one who is the source of many of our problems. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, there's power in prayer this morning. There's power in taking your problems and spreading them out before the one who has the ability to take care of your problems. Ask the pianist if she would come forward to play a song of invitation as everybody's standing, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we come before you as humble as we know how. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have the ability to hear and answer prayers. And Lord, I just want to praise you for all the prayers you've answered in my life. And Lord, no doubt, Lord, there's many
people here this morning that are facing problems, that are going through different things. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what they're battling. I don't know their problems, Lord. But Lord, we know you do. And Lord, we know you have the ability to take care of them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, realize we need to be more like Hezekiah and just come and turn it all over to you. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you and praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Every